this is Kenya, and welcome to my magical cottage core life. Today, we're going to do something different together. I am very excited because there are times when I am called upon in my communities here in Michigan to give speeches or talks or seminars. And a lot of the times, many of the people that know me don't know when I'm doing them, even though I tell them I'm going to do it, but they don't always catch it. And I have many different projects and different communities that I participate in as far as, you know, giving seminars and classes and speeches, whatnot. I am something of an interfaith presenter as well because I have presented to many different faiths. But in this particular speech today, I had the honor of presenting to Unity of Blue Water in Port Huron, Michigan. This was a while back. This was last year. So I would like to share this inspirational talk with you in hopes that you may find value in it. So please, today, open up your big book of stuff, turn to the section on seasons and inspiration, because this speech was about fallow fields, and I hope you will enjoy it. Let's get started. My name is Kenya T. Koviak, and some of you may have Googled me, some of you didn't. Don't Google me. So, you don't want to do that. I come from Detroit. I was born in Detroit, and I now live in Warren, Michigan. My family came from, according to the records, they were transported here in the 1740s. To the Carolinas. And part of my family is, of course, African American. Part of my family is Creek Indigenous and also Creek Freedmen. So I've given you some background about who I come from and a little bit about who I am. I am a mother. I am a teacher. I am a business person sometimes. I've been a family service worker. I have been a family life educator, and I've been a clerk. I've been a little bit of everything. And in all those things, watch the segue, y'all. In all those things, I have found that grace is one of the things I appreciate, and we talked about that last time. But grace has another part of it, another blessing that it can give you, and it's not just strength, it's not just productivity. But there is a time when grace will give you the gift of having a time of being in and being a fallow field. We did our segue. Okay. Many of you may not be familiar, unless you know about farming, with the concept of fallow fields. A fallow field usually means, this is what it means in agriculture. You've probably seen these great big farms where all of the fields are growing, the plants are producing, the wheat is weeding, the potatoes are potatoing, not the swamp potatoes, and all the wonderful things are happening that you need to do on a farm in order to be successful. Even if it's a subsistence farm, you have to be successful in order to continue to operate the farm successfully. Okay, we're going to do a game. Every time I say successful, we're going to have to drink coffee. Okay. Yeah. Virtually. We don't have to have a real coffee, though. All that caffeine. But that being said, a wise farmer or a learned farmer or a farmer who listens to their elders or their teachings or who has studied knows that you cannot continually work and work and work your fields because eventually they will become exhausted. They'll become depleted. This will not be a talk about big agriculture. That's not what this is about today. Monsanto, I'm talking to you. Nothing personal against Monsanto. But that being said, let it be known that the speaker rolled her eyes. Okay. That being said, if we continue to pump in artificial fertilizers,
and supplements into the soil, the plants do not have the nutrients that would naturally occur. The food is not as fulfilling. It is not as nutritional. It is not as building. What does this have to do with you? It has to do everything with you. Because the farmer decides every once in a while, usually every 7 years, but that has to do with something else. That is a specific tradition in a specific faith-based people. But farmers pick a certain period of years, sometimes seven, sometimes less, where they will let a portion of their fields go fallow. They do not cultivate them. They do not work them. They sow no seed. They clear no weed. Hey, now that was a rhyme. But why they're doing that is because the ground needs to rest. It needs to repair itself, rebuild itself. All of the creatures that were displaced, because there's things that live under the ground and in the ground and above the ground, will come back to it. All of the original gifts that the land had that it shared into producing that crop will begin to be restored. For people, it is very close to that, because in today's world, and you know, we say today's world, but it's not new. This isn't new. We've been doing this ever since this ball has been spinning. We want to produce. We want to work. But right now in the Western world, in this country where we live right now, the dominant focus is on working all the time, having to be productive all the time. What are you producing? Who are you producing it for? Who is the person or the persons that decide you're productive? We liken ourselves to machines in a way, because we have to always be working toward putting out the correct output, not falling down, not slacking. Slacking from what? You were not put on this earth to work your life away. You were not given the gift of life to work constantly for others. Yes, you do have to work to feed yourself to a point. You know, even the sower of the seed has to, you know, till the soil or put the seed on the soil. But there has to be a time where you must be allowed to give yourself some fallow time. Now, one of the reasons we have, quote unquote, the day of rest, which is different from different groups. Some it's Friday, some it's Saturday, some it's Sunday. We usually run on a 7-day cycle, 6 days work, 1 day off. And that's the time we rest completely. Unless you're my husband, in which case I will wake you up anyway, because I feel that we need to move around to see if there's anything we can actually explore and learn new. But then he reminds me that we need a day of rest to recharge, right? But is a 7th day rest period enough? Is that really a time of fallowness? Not really. And I'll tell you why. Because you know it's a short time. It's not truly a fallow time. So let's talk about what that really means. If you've ever been unemployed, that's a time of being fallow. You're not, quote unquote, working for someone else yourself. You're moving through life just enough. And because you've been given that break, you can kind of look around and see where you are in life. And recently, it is now 2023. In 2020, we had a global situation. We had a pandemic. I'm not getting into politics about that because that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that the entire world, for the most part, except for those who were first responders and those called to their vocation of being of service to others, most of us had to sit back and not produce for others. And for a lot of us, it was hard. It hurt. It hurt us financially. It hurt us, you know, with our relations, with people we loved. We couldn't go see them. It was painful. For many of us, it was painful. I'm not ever going to tell you that sitting down and having to be forced to not move is not painful. It was. But just like starting your first day at a laborious job. When you get home, it's painful, right? Your body aches. Your mind aches. Everything is kind of hurting because now, you know, it's you're just adjusting. During that time, the world had a fallow field period globally. What happened during that? We saw people learning to bake for the first time, not going to the store to buy bread. They learned a little bit about themselves because, hey, I can make my own food. This is kind of cool. They explore their house. When I say you explore your house, I don't just mean you explore the physical constraints of the place where you go to bed at night. That's not what I mean. They explore their relationships with others because all of that is part of your house. They explored their family. For some of us, there were people who contacted us for the first time in 10 years because now there was no distraction to envelop them, to immerse ourselves within, because we felt we have to only put our face to the grindstone and work and work and produce. But that is an extreme example of a fallow field. Let's talk about a more common one, one that you may have experienced and that you might be able to relate to. There are times in our lives, and I don't know if everyone in here has gone through it. I don't presume to know. I'm not the boss of you, so you don't have to tell me if you have. I have one boss, so and that's the only one I report to, so, you know. But there will be a time in your life where you will find that you reach a place where you kind of stand still and you look around. Is this my life? Is this where I want to be right now? And even though you might be punching a clock, it's a time in your life where you just stop. All of your energy just kind of compresses into you for a while. It's almost like a hermit stage. I'm not saying you cut your friendships off, but maybe you're not answering the phone as much. You're not going out as much. Coworkers say hello, you're doing the perfunctory, hi, how you doing? But you're not really there, you know? Because this is the time when you take stock of your life. You might have just been laid off. That's usually the most extreme one in our world. Or maybe you went through a great loss. Or maybe you just had a crisis. And it's not always midlife where you had a dark night of the soul. People talk about the midlife crisis, but they forget the post-adolescent crisis. Once they get into the world and they say, hey, I'm an adult now, so I'm supposed to do all this stuff and I don't know how to do anything, and they have this crisis. They might be, you know, well, how do I get a house? How do I do this? Even if you've shown them doing it by themselves, it's a little hard. So you give them some grace, you give them a moment, and they have to sit back and just not do anything. Once they get on the other side of that first apartment door or that first roommate door or that first dorm room door and they close it and they're standing there, what do they do next? They have to take that time, have to take that break, even if it's just for a week, and take stock of where they are in their lives and why they're not having to do anything at that time is because in society, we do give a tiny amount of grace, a tiny amount of indulgence to people who have gone through serious transitions. If you've ever seen or worked with people who have gone through a fire where they've lost many, if not all their things, all their belongings, they're in a state of fallow. They're in a fallow time. Because what can they actually produce right now? They have to depend on the help of others who are producing. But at that time, they have to be able to receive. And being fallow is about receiving. You're not projecting at that time. You're receiving at that time. You're receiving quiet. You're receiving things that will restore you. During the pandemic, we learned to make bread. Great. People learn to do things around the house. You are receiving the time and receiving the mindfulness away from your quote-unquote obligations to be able to actually accept the gifts and the teachings that will allow you to better develop yourself, right? Now, let's get to another phase of this, because I think we've gotten through that example of what's happened. Another thing about fallow fields is that it's kind of hard after they've been fallow for a while to sow anything in that field. A lot of work has to be done. And I'm going to surprise you. You can be in a state of being fallow, and you could be at the top of your game. You could be at the most quote-unquote work productive time of your life, but you're in cruise control. You're not actually producing anything. You're just going through the motions. If you've lived long enough, you'll know possibly what I'm talking about, where you get to that point, you just punch the clock or you sign in every day, you go through the motions, but you're not growing. Nothing new is coming out of you. The spark isn't there. That's right there. That's right there. That's right before you're about to break that fallow ground, okay? Now, there's a lot of sermons, a lot of songs, a lot of teachings, a lot of writings about breaking fallow ground. I'm Kenya. I don't use those. I use mine. So let's explore for a second. Let's go back to our farmer, our agricultural example. If you let your field lay fallow for a while, and it might be, usually it's a year, some people let that back 40 sit for like 5 or 6 years, depending on how damaged and overworked it was. They let it sit because they can, because they put enough aside so that they, once they get ready to break it open, they can actually use it and let another field go fallow, right? The same thing with areas of your life, okay? But once you decide that you're ready to come out of that time and try something new and start projecting, start acting on the universe and yourself, and that's really vague, but it depends on who you are and what that means to you. And I'm going to give you some examples too. There'll be a test later. No. But once you get to that part where you're ready to come out of that routine and start to live again. Some of us feel like we're not really living if we're ready to live again. You have to break that ground, right? That is one of the hardest times. They will tell you that anything you want to make a new routine or a new practice, you take about 30 to 60 days to do it over and over again to make it part of you, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what days they're counting, because usually for me, it takes about a year to actually acclimate to a new part of my life. I can start doing the actions. It takes about a year. Remember, we said that usually the farmer lets the field lie fallow for a year. It takes about a year to break that field in, because you have to go through all four seasons, right? One of the things they have to do is they actually have to take stock of what has happened during that time, what damages have happened. When you're going through the motions in life, or if a tragedy has occurred, you have to take stock of where you are and what damages have happened to you. In our example of someone who's at the top of their game and they're at work and they're producing, what other part of your life is suffering? If you're producing that much constantly all the time, what other part of your life is lacking? Because I promise you, man cannot attend to all things all the time, right? Your family might be the best thing in your life and you devote all your time to it if you're a homemaker. And it doesn't matter what sex you are, you could be a homemaker. It doesn't matter what gender you are, you could be a homemaker or a caregiver, right? But if you didn't develop or give some time to that part of yourself that does art, maybe you had art inside of you. Maybe you are a woodworker. Maybe you really have a dream to work for a boating company. What are you doing toward that? You're going through the motions and doing what you know, but you're not thriving. You're not allowing yourself to live fully. maybe you can't, you know, work on a yacht right now. I mean, I don't know that I would, but maybe you can't. But maybe you can collect some things or some writings on yachts. Maybe you can learn about them, you know, take time to, you know, inform yourself. Maybe you can take swimming lessons if you don't know how to swim. There are a lot of people who want to be sailors that can't swim, honestly. I know, I wanted to go into the Navy. I still can't swim a lick. But you have to take time to feed yourself, to receive. And when you're ready to break out of that, you'll have the skills you need. That's part of the breaking process of being out of fallow. You're working and you're working and you're working. Your family doesn't see you. You come home and they talk to you and they want to tell you about their day and you grunt at them. You wave them away. You wake up, not until I've had my coffee. I've got to go to sleep. I've got a big morning tomorrow. I've got to do the project. And before you know it, your family doesn't ask you anything anymore. They don't come to you anymore. Or your roommate doesn't come to you anymore. Or your partner doesn't come to you with the little things anymore. Once you're coming out of that time, or you start to acknowledge you're in a time where you're not growing or thriving or seeing things come out of you because everything has been depleted out of you, you don't have anything left to give, so you had to just kind of sit there and cruise, that's the hard part. That's the hard part. Because how do you break it? How do you break it? Well, if it's a relationship, and I'm going to say a romantic relationship for this example, now you have to go to couples counseling. Or now you have to read all the little self-help columns. Or you need to learn to talk to your partner. That's not as easy as it sounds, because guess what? Talking to your partner doesn't mean talking at them. That means you have to let them talk to you. That's a new skill. That's breaking the fallow time, because none of that was of your interest because you were so busy with your career. If you're a homemaker and that's all you've been exploring, you completely ignored the fact that, well, I could be learning other skills. I could be out there, and guess what? I'm not coming down on homemakers. Please don't think that that's what this is not about to be that. That's not what this is about to be. But you are more than home economics and self-help management. You are more than that. When you were a child, I promise you, that's not all you wanted to learn. You have to learn new things. There is a specific faith that says in order for you to be part of the spiritual awakening that you seek, you must become like a child again. I tell you that if you are coming out of a time of being fallow, it is akin to that you must be like a child again, because now you have to find out all of the different things you used to love about who you are. We're so busy producing. We're so busy being busy. We're so busy doing everything everyone else thinks we need to do. And we get into that routine and it becomes mindless. It's mind-numbing. That's the time that the quickening can happen, that you can break out. Once you acknowledge and are aware that you're in a fallow time and you start to use those skills to break out of it, it's like the farmer, once he breaks the land after the field's been fallow, it's going to be a struggle. It's not going to be easy. But in doing that, you will find there is so much richness inside of you waiting to come out. It's like you just tapped an oil rig and it just shot everywhere. Because guess what? All those parts of you are wonderfully and mysteriously made when you were created, right? All those interests, all those aptitudes, all those abilities, and you've suppressed them because of being productive, and you decided, I'm done with that, I'm going to break the ground, I'm going to let myself receive the benefit of all the things I'm using while breaking the ground, and then I am going to be the most productive field. But guess what? It's a different field now. You're a different you now. You might not be employee of the month now, because guess what? You don't have 18 hours to worry about your job. because you decided to learn about skydiving. Good luck to you if that's what you want to do. Great for you, not for me. I don't want to fall. But you find that by looking at your life and checking out everything in your life and breaking out of that rut and learning how to use those gifts, you can see so much in you blossom. The people around you will begin to blossom. Your life will begin to blossom. Your soul will begin to sing. But what happens? What happens if you cast all these gifts onto soil that is bitter? The fruit will be bitter. You often see this in midlife crises when, yes, they are learning to live their life. They're like, okay, I've arrived at this part of my life. I want a new car. Okay, fine. That's wonderful. I'm not judging you for wanting a new car. Did you spend your daughter's college fund to get it? Because it should be about me. It's my time now. Do not cast your gifts onto bitter soil. If you're breaking out of that time, make sure you sweeten yourself. Make sure you, I didn't say keep sweet. That's not what I said. I want to be clear. I have people who listen to this podcast that are Mormon. So that's not what I'm saying, or actual former Mormons. But you want to sweeten yourself. You want to be kind, not only to yourself, not only to others, but kind in your heart. That means being patient if the new skill or the new life you're trying to build doesn't go quite like you want. Maybe you get that new car and you can't drive it. Maybe you get the new skill and find that you've always wanted to skydive and you get to that door and, oh, you forgot you're afraid of heights. Maybe you are re-engaging with your family and restarting those connections and breathing life into those connections, and you find that they don't want to hear you now, so you become resentful. Instead of coming at it with, okay, well, this was where I was, this is where I am, I need to know how to re-establish a relationship. I can't become angry because they don't flip like the turn of a switch. I have to work on the gifts that I have been developing. I said I wanted to make a relationship with my son. I don't have a son, y'all. I said I wanted to make a relationship with my son. And I want to do things with him. You know, I listened to Cats in the Cradle one too many times, and it made me see I was in a time of fallibleness as a father, and I want to make a connection, and I want us to do stuff together. I want us to build a derby racer. Yeah, he's 25. I don't think that's going to happen. So you're like, well, maybe we can go hunting together. He is a vegan. You would have known that had you been around and active in his life. That's not a judgment. That's a fact. But let's say you do find something to connect with. You find that the way he speaks, the way he internalizes things, you find a mirror of yourself during your fallow time. He doesn't want to break out of it. He's used to not communicating with you. He's used to receiving no attention. He's used to you grunting when you get home. So he grunts at you then. If you are bitter, if you have hardened yourself during the process, only bad things will happen from this. So when you break the field, you want to be kind with yourself and compassionate. You want to always say, is this kind? Am I being kind to myself? Am I being kind to others? Which means that when that person turns to rebuke you, because some people in your life will rebuke you for changing, when they rebuke you, you respond in grace. I understand that this is how we've had a dynamic before. I understand how I was when I was there, but I'm not there anymore. So let's start something else now. You can't start over, but let's start something else. Fallow fields don't start over. They'll never be the original field they were, but they can grow some other things. They can be something else. I I do want to give you one caution, though. Sometimes, not every time, but sometimes, out of the greatest tragedies, people will tell you that the greatest blessings occur. That's not always true. In fact, sometimes tragedies lead to more tragedies. When you see this, when you are experiencing this, it is very easy to give up. It is very easy to say, I don't want to be here. What is it that my daughter says? I want to delete myself from the program.
Ouch.
This is not the way. This is not the way. If you find that that time in your life, that becomes something you believe or begin to think about, I want you to, just you and me, let's make an agreement. When that happens, maybe agree to just be safe for today. There's always time to revisit those thoughts later with someone else who can possibly guide you out of those times. Being in a fallow time after a tragedy is very difficult and can be exhausting. But remember, fallow times lead to breaking grounds. Fallow time does lead to a new renewal. They are not meant to last. They are a rest. They are a break. However that break and rest comes about. There is always someone else who is in their productive time and bring you forward. They can help you break the ground. They can help you sow anew. They can share their fruitful fields with you. Maybe you just need to look around the corner. Because when everything is so dark, all we can see is what's in front of us. And the hands to help could be right there by us. So if you're going through a dark fallow time, it's a time. It's not a sentence. It's not an eternity. It's just a time. It's like the different phases of the moon. Sometimes it's dark, but I promise you, the moon will be full again. The sun will shine again. Your fields will be fruitful again. And that is the grace of the seasons. And that is the grace of the farmer's trust. And that is the grace of the soul to know that there is no time that cannot turn and no ground that cannot be rebroken. I don't want to keep going.
You go ahead. Keep going.
I can? Right. So with that, I would like to, and I know I'm at my time, but I would like to share, if that's okay with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to share a small exercise that I think can be an assistance when you are in a time that you don't know what to do, you're in a fallow time, or you've been through a lot and you're on the other side, or you're trying to get to the other side. This is called counting blessings, but it's not the blessings you think. It's not the blessings you think. Oftentimes when we count our blessings, we count external things. We count things that are given to us, things that we have given to others, things that are added unto us. I put it to you that the blessings that we are going to count today are the blessings that are within us. First, I would like to count the blessing of being able to think. There are so many who do not have that blessing. There are so many who do not have the ability to see beyond the moment. They cannot plan. They cannot appreciate the possibility of anything other than what they see. That doesn't mean they're bad people, but if we have that blessing, we should be thankful for it. Next, I would like to be thankful for the blessing of being able to draw breath. There are so many who cannot draw breath. They used to, they can't now. Sometimes they need a machine. Sometimes they just will not again. But we are blessed because we can draw breath in this space with each other. we are blessed because with each breath, every breath is different. Every breath gives us the ability to continue to exist here, to know, to think, to see, to feel, to love and be loved with every breath. I want to thank, you know, everyone here for coming, and I want to also have us count the last blessing, if that's okay. The last blessing is to be so gifted to have a soul, because, and be aware of it. Because knowing that you have a soul is knowing that you can tap into the divine source, and knowing that there is a force greater without and within you that operates, and thus you are connected. The blessing of knowing that you have a soul is knowing that when you look at someone else, that soul is within them too, and somehow you are connected, so you're never, ever truly alone. And I want to thank you, and it's my time. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I'll sit in the chair. I want to be apart from everybody.
Did you need the phone call?
Yeah.
So we don't pass a offering plate, but Bill will gladly collect your love offering. Oh, we do have a hand back there. So if you so desire, if you're able to, you can also give online at unityofthewater.com.
You enjoyed the selection. It was very much one of the more inspirational things I've done in fall of last year. As many of you know, I lost my mother last year in winter, so it was a bit almost foreshadowing that I would have a time of being fallow. I'm still recovering from that time and getting my feet under me again, but I do like to share other ventures and aspects of myself with my friends, and we're friends, right? You know, almost all of us have lessons we can share with other people to help inspire, uplift, and get them through difficult times. And I hope that you will take the time to see if there's someone around you that needs a word of healing, pouring a balm and speaking life into a person with our words and experiences is one of the things that makes us lively and spiritual beings. But you don't have to believe in spirituality in order to help other people. I have several wonderful friends who are actually atheists, so I don't judge you by what you believe. I hold you in the space where you can become the best person you are. And sometimes that's not a one-way, one-path thing. I hope you'll enjoy our upcoming episodes together, and I'll see you here next time on My Magical Cottagecore Life.